up, guys, and welcome to the Mulehorn Gaming Podcast, where we have just a fireside chat with my man Primetime, as you can see right here with me. There's no woo.
Hold on.
Woo! There we go.
I had to make sure that my house is quiet. No one's here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, kid free. We're good. But welcome to the podcast, episode 3, where may the 4th be with you. It is Star Wars Day, so we'll probably talk some Star Wars, probably just a little bit.
Just a smidge.
But as you guys know, we're kicking this thing back off. And if you want to get know when we're going to have our next episode recorded or anything like that, join the Discord. That's probably the best way to kind of stay up to date when we're going to record episodes, things like that. And I think we're going to eventually have guests on here and other stuff that it'll be fun to get more people on the podcast again eventually. So we're getting that all set up. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. I'm ready just to sit down with some bros again and just get this cracking. But make sure you jump in the Discord. You can listen to us on Spotify or wherever else you listen to podcasts, or you can watch us live on Twitch or YouTube. So that's all the things out of the way. So Prime, do you have a special beverage of the night tonight?
No, I do not. I have a beverage, but it is not special. It is just coffee. And the reason that is because for most of the nights since launch of Jedi Survivor, I have not been disciplined to put myself to bed at a decent time, even on days I had to go to work the next day and school nights. Yeah. Dude, I've been hurting. I am not at the age of which I can handle that on a consistent basis anymore. And took a nap yesterday, took a nap today. I was completely offline yesterday, which it felt weird, but yeah, it felt good. So today I'm sipping on some coffee so I can, we have a little chatty chat on the stream and then I can play some more Survivor later.
It is Star Wars Day. You got to play some kind of Star Wars game, man.
Speaking of Star Wars Day, I have one Star Wars shirt that is in my closet. It's a Force Awakens shirt and I couldn't bring myself to wear it.
I won't do it.
I get it. Chimichangas and tacos, Deadpool.
Hey, you can't go wrong with Deadpool. That's a pretty strong choice right there.
Yeah.
I actually do have a beverage of the night, and I'm not sure if this is such a wise decision, but one of the reasons why we haven't podcasted in a while, guys, is because I've had kidney stones. And so, I'm doing a little lining Kegel. Summer Shandy. Sure,
it wasn't a Bud Light because, we want to keep this a bro chat.
Dude, no. the lime will help the kidney stones at least. Bud Light, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a fact that beer does, in moderation, of course,
yes,
help with kidney stones and keeps your kidneys fluid just like water does. So I learned that when I had my kidney stone back in the day. I was doing research and my wife at the time was like, you do know that beer is good for kidney stones. We're getting a six pack.
Excuse for some alcohol.
I had to get it out quick because I had a wedding to go to in 2 days and I was no fly restriction until I gave birth. And
eventually I did. Dang, dude. Yeah. these were pretty stubborn. I got one on one side and then on the other side. So we had a hiatus there for a while for the podcast, but
a little bit.
So today is Star Wars Day. And as Prime said, you've been playing a lot of Jedi Survivor. What's the latest you've stayed up, Prime?
Launch night was 3:30.
Oh my God. Well, that was a Friday though, thankfully.
Yeah. So Saturday was 2:30. Then probably 2:00 again, 1:30. It was, I might have called into work on a Friday. And slept for a good while. Yeah.
Yeah, that's intense, dude. I don't know how you're walking right now.
I mean, it's a miracle.
Yeah. Fake, appreciate that sub over on our Twitch, man. 16 months. What? You're the best, bro. Yeah, I appreciate you, man. Yeah, that's intense, man. I think I took off Friday from work and I was like, screw you guys at work. I'm going to play Jedi Survivor. I've been waiting for this for years. So I was like, I have to take off work. And we streamed, gosh, man, it was like 6-7 hours. That was a lot. And then we streamed another 4 that night. But dude, I rolled credits yesterday. I'm not going to say any spoilers. We won't say spoilers on the cast for you guys.
But thank you for that.
Legit. Like, and Fake knows that's here in the chat. No, like right now, he knows we've been talking in the spoiler. We've been talking in the Discord. This story
is so good.
Dude, it is.
It's on like God of War level story.
It is so freaking good, man. And it's funny because the guys that did it are the guys from God of War and Fall and all that. So, but yeah, man, like just, I don't know how far you are, Prime, so I don't want to say too much, but there are some spots in the story, but I was just like,
I just got back from the moon.
Okay. So you still got probably 4-ish hours left.
That's it.
Yeah. So that's if you just power through. Cause I,
oh no, you know me, man, I got to explore everything. I'm not a mule. I'm an explorer.
Yeah. I had to power through because like I knew it was going to get spoiled for me eventually. Cause like my day job, I'm on socials, you know,
speaking of spoiling, last time I watched you stream it, I went back to check on something. I was researching where to find the exit so you can go explore.
Yeah.
Cause he missed the first window
on Jedi. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I looked back. I was like, no, I saw too much. I can't delete.
So yeah. Like,
what's happening to a certain character? I'm like, no,
it's why? Still so good. I mean, I could kind of see that coming. So you probably would have saw it coming too.
I didn't want to believe it, but
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm basically all I had to say is I'm looking forward to that particular scene. Even though I already know about it.
Yeah, it was so good. And Doc, what up, man? May the 4th be with you. Doc just started his playthrough as well on Jedi Survivor. But yeah, it's I'm playing on Jedi Knight, and I will say there was a couple of boss fights I had to lower the difficulty because I was getting smashed. Mm. Like it is they made it hard, man. I can't imagine what Grandmaster's like.
Nope.
Especially, this is not really a spoiler because pretty early on, but like the Rancor that you fight, like.
Well, once I got wrecked several times and I did a little research, how do you defeat the Rancor? It's like, oh, it's that easy?
Yes.
I tricked him out so easy.
You're talking about the bone?
Well, that. But then it's like, you know, just like not being aggressive and letting him come to you and flipping away. I was like trying to get him any hits I could and jump away. And
yeah.
Yeah, I was feeling the frustration too. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I think I died. I think chat on stream was keeping count, and it took me 17 times. Yeah,
I think I was right through with you. Probably 15, 17. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that it was like you, Prime, because like I just want to Leroy Jenkins it and just like go, you know. But like, I had to sit back and play more conservative. But
oh, Doc, if you're just now starting, Doc, yeah, dodging spoilers is hard right now.
Yeah, dude, you cannot be on social media, dude.
Nope.
There is so much in this game that they built in. I found something out at the end of the game when I was watching the credits because I didn't do all of the extra stuff. So this is just a tip for you guys because I was plowing through. So I'm still going to go and try to 100% everything. I'm just going to give you this tip because you're going to want to do it. Go and hunt down all of your bounties for the bounty hunters. Just do it. Okay. I'm not going to say why. Just do it. Cause I missed it and I didn't realize it until I rolled credits, but just go do it. Yeah. Dude, I don't know how you've avoided those fake. That's the ridiculous, man.
Speaking of the bounties, I will say I love how they brought the bounties into play with that mysterious, you know, person from the. I'm not gonna say it. I'm gonna spoil it, but I was like, smooth transition. I like that.
Yeah,
that was so cool.
Yeah. There's just so many things about this game that I think makes it probably one of the best games I've ever played as far as a Star Wars game. Yeah. Like the stances, the storytelling, the more of the open world vibe that you get. It's still pretty linear in some sense, but it gives you a lot of space, like to just...
Especially Kobo. Kobo? Yeah. That planet is... Well, the area you can explore is huge.
Oh, and there's not even some of it that you've unlocked until you progress some of the story.
Yep,
so,
yep. I was watching that video today, and it talked about things, you know, I wish I would have known ahead of time. And it's, you know, basically to leave that planet and come back later because you'll come across things you can't open up yet. Like, I wish I would have known that before because I explored every bit of it I could before I left. And I discovered like three or four spots like I can't progress that. So, yeah. Okay, I'll leave. And that's when I found my new stances. I'm like, I should have left sooner.
Yeah, there is some... Dude, the cross guard, I think, is probably my favorite secondary stance. Because, like, that's... Dude, that thing is a beast. And, like, when you upgrade it, when you can do, like, the... When you jump from the air and you come down and you create, like, a shockwave. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, dude. Like, that was just... That was amazing.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
I recently got that because of I'm back from the moon. Trying not to spoil anything, but the blaster stance, I'm loving that because I finally get the hang of it and just kind of like blast and stab, you know, keep it going, good rhythm. And when I'm swarmed, to switch to another stance, and it made the rift where you have to fight a swarm of baddies so much easier. I just mopped the floor with them. It's so good.
Yep. And I got to ask you this, Prime, because Fake, I put it on the screen here about 100%ing the area of Kobo. How have you been finding the game as far as, because you're a completionist. I'm more of a, like, I just want to finish the game first.
Yeah.
So how are you finding the pacing for that? Like,
good. I mean, it doesn't seem overly tedious. Where I just like I get to the area and like there's nothing but like pick this up or return this. There is so much dialogue between NPCs that interact with you or with themselves or whenever they're triggered. There's so many things along the way that everything feels alive, just like God of War.
Yep.
I played Atomic Heart and Tokyo Ghostwire recently, and both of those games are pretty awesome. I finished Atomic Heart, and it was an open world, but the areas that had things for you to do, there wasn't a whole lot of dialogue, and it kind of felt meh on that part. That's also the reason why I stopped playing Ghostwire, because there was like such lack of dialogue. I'm like, I need more dialogue here.
Yeah.
And Jedi Survivor is filling that gap tremendously, because there's so much dialogue, and there's so much... It all intertwines in the story, and there's a lot of comic relief. The clone trooper droids are fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. My favorite is I'm pushing a guy off the ledge. You're like, you're not allowed to do that. It's like the writing on this is so good.
Dude, I love the clone air droids, dude, because they're hilarious. Like, yeah. Just get them talking and like there was one where I picked him up, and when I threw him, is like you said, he goes, "That's not allowed." Is he's like flying on the
edge. Yep.
Like, oh, this is the best. This is the best.
Something else you mentioned previously is a lot of the flashbacks you encounter are very good as well,
dude. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the way.
Go
ahead. No, I was just gonna say the flashbacks, the way that they bridged the gap between the two games with that to show that there was still stuff going on. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yes. I mean, that's whenever I found out what era those things were from, like, oh, this is so cool. And then, you know, the flashbacks still in the gaps is pretty awesome. Because there's like, you know, there's not a whole lot of media out there in Star Wars that fills in the gap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, man, I everything about it, I was really enjoying. And the, like you were saying, Prime, the added touch, the NPCs, when you go into the cantinas, when you go into areas and you can just And it's not just one time you talk to them. You can talk to them multiple times and they keep telling you stories. Mm-hmm. Like they keep going and telling you more and more. And sometimes those dialogues open up side quests.
Yep.
Like I didn't know that until I like went to this one person twice by accident. And they're like, hey, can you go to this cave and explore this for me? And I'm like, yeah.
Don't mind if I do.
Yeah. So I definitely need to like spend some more time to just explore and things like that. Dude, oh my gosh. Okay, Nady Nay in chat says he liked the enemy that whooped Mule around for about an hour. That was a good time. Dude, that was probably the closest I've ever been to rage quitting while playing a game because it was ridiculous. Yeah, that was a tough boss.
But, and I'm looking forward to all these extra acrobatic riffs that Fake has been complaining about.
Yeah,
in Discord. I'm so looking forward to those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, man, it was, I mean, it was great to power through it, but I really wish now looking back, I would have took a little more time to like just explore some of the side stuff and like more of the story because it's so like, I only did three bounty hunters. And so I'm like, dude, I really need to like find these other guys. And like, I don't know where they would be. I'm not sure how to track that. I'd have to look again, but
YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. YouTube. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
I was going to say seeing those bounty hunters wield certain weapons, which is normally not common in Star Wars. I was like, okay, this is cool.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was, you could easily, Servant said, you know, I put about 25 hours, but barely touched the game. I mean, I'm looking up the EA app right now. I put in 26 hours and 18 minutes, and I did hardly any side exploration or NPC stuff. Like, I did enough, but not, like, I kept getting pulled into wanting to complete the story because it's so good.
But so you probably say it's easily a 40-hour game.
Oh, easily. I mean, because there's so much you have to explore. And like Fake brought it up in chat, there's a place in Jedha you want to go to because it helps you find other things.
Yes.
I haven't got that because I barely explored Jedha. So, there's a lot that I need to do. So
I have that video saved on my YouTube playlist to go check out later.
Yeah. There's a lot of really cool, like hidden stuff as well that you can find. And like, there was even some, I can't even remember the instance now, but there was like a callback to Jedi Academy or like a little Easter egg to the old school Star Wars Jedi Academy. And I was just like, you could tell this game was made by Star Wars fans, you know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's just so much about it that I enjoyed. And I was joking. I think if I was giving it a rating between 1 and 10, only because of some of the boss fights were ridiculous, like ridiculously hard. I give it a 9.9. That's how good it was for me. Like
9.9. Yeah.
Like literally almost a perfect game for me.
That makes sense.
The boss fights. And then of course playing on PC, I've had some like, you know, stuttering frame drops, the stuff that just kind of irritates you a little bit.
Yeah.
But nothing that's like that absolutely destroyed the game for me.
Right. Yeah. On the Series X, I have had two instances of like some frame stuttering that didn't last very long and one crash. The music was still going, but the black screen. Besides that, it's been very smooth. I mean, some of the digital assets will load in slow in certain areas. Mm-hmm. Like you see the muddy down version and all of a sudden, boom, high res. I'm like, okay, hurry up.
Yep.
Besides that, it's been great. I mean, I get a lot of people, especially on PC and PS5, had a lot of problems. But man, that social media knows how to rip things apart,
dude.
Without even those that didn't play it, they're like, oh, this is instant garbage. I'm like, dude, no, it's not.
I have to bring this up because I saw you responding on Twitter. There was one tweet. I'm not going to say who it was because we're not targeting. We're not targeting, right? We're not trying to bully or anything like that. But they have a video up talking about how Jedi Survivor catfished its fans. And I was like,
clickbait.
I don't know if I'd call it catfished.
You know? Yeah. The comments, like, I'd say 8 out of 10 comments were like, that's a bit far, because it was far from a catfish. So,
yeah, I mean, no bait and switch.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Redfall may be a bit of a catfish. I mean, it was advertised as multiple things, and multiple things have yet to be delivered. And the game has been fun for so many people, but it just doesn't deliver on the level which was advertised, and it's noticeable.
Yeah.
We can talk about that after this, but yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, what would you give the rating right now, Prime? Because you're probably, a third of the way through the story.
I'd say a 9.5 for me right now so far. I mean, I'm pretty sure it might get a little higher. But yeah, 9.5, easy.
Easy. Yeah, there's some good stuff coming your way, Prime.
I am excited. That's why I'm also drinking coffee tonight, so I can play some more.
So real quick, since it is May the 4th, I got to ask, favorite Star Wars movie, favorite Star Wars show?
Empire Strikes Back. Solid. Show. Oh man, that's probably gonna have to be Mando in general.
Yeah,
I mean, certain portions of certain seasons were like, eh, but overall, really good. Oh, I don't know. Obi-Wan was really good too. Shoot, I can't decide.
Yeah, it's hard,
probably, right? Mando, because it opened up a whole new era of lore that has yet to been touched really deeply. So yeah.
Mando. So I like you, Empire. Empire is easily my number one Star Wars movie. Yeah. Show. I'm gonna. Mando's really good, and so is Obi-Wan. But I feel like as a whole, Bad Batch.
Okay. Yeah.
Like,
it's consistent.
There's an episode in there where you're like, not him. And it's just,
yeah,
it just hits you, man. And maybe it's because I like, over the years, because I've watched so much Clone Wars and Rebels,
yeah,
that I've really just been kind of tuned up on the way Filoni tells stories.
Yeah.
And like, dude, I think I have to say Bad Batch.
Okay. My second runner up would be Andor, your favorite.
Ooh. See, is it just because of the storytelling? Is that why it was?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of being sarcastic to dig at you and your like agitation. Oh, I don't like it. But on that same aspect, you got to see a deeper side of the Empire, which was really never shown before. And to me, it's like, this is really intriguing, because they were a freaking awful Empire. I mean, the Rebels were kind of not always so great themselves sometimes, but
yeah,
and the Republic, but man, the Empire was a freaking awful machine, and you saw various parts of it happening and going down. Like, wow, this is cool. This is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, oh my gosh, Nate, he had to bring it up. My card was pulled from Star Wars today, because I
absolutely said, was.
And I said Rogue One instead of freaking like Solo. Sorry. It just
of brain all fart. The merch you have, all the lore you have, how much you gush of Star Wars. No one saw that coming.
I know, it was a brain fart, dude. I meant to. I was thinking Solo, because I was like, oh, he's at the end of Solo. But for some reason, I started thinking about Darth Vader, and so I put Rogue One. So,
yeah.
Brain old fart the old, moment. Old fart moment. Yeah, exactly. So tell me, Prime. Redfall. I mean, it didn't like something I would be interested in. Apparently, it's a lot of hype.
Yeah, you don't want things that are remotely scary, and I get that. it was a lot of hype. First, it was 60 frames per second, and then it ended up not being that. When it launched, it was very buggy for certain people. Not everyone. It's been pretty smooth for me. But the AI is not the smartest AI. The world seems a little bit empty, but the gunplay and the powers that your character has is pretty cool. The story is actually pretty cool too. And with a lot of mechanics woven in there, it is a lot of fun to play, but it's lacking a lot of what was supposed to be in there. Previous Arcane titles have given me more satisfaction for what they were supposed to be and then delivered. This one's kind of like, it's missing some.
Yeah, I was just going to pull up this. You're talking about and everything
else. Yeah, that's one scene. Yeah.
Destin was tweeting about this.
I mean, granted, the baddie's in a restricted environment, which probably is a flaw in the designer's aspect. But it's also a different studio for Arcane. It's not the main studio. I'm not making excuses, but it's just... And speaking of that, Phil Spencer was on the... what podcast is it? What's a podcast that Paris Lilly's on?
I know which one you're talking about.
Something funny podcast.
Yeah.
And Phil Spencer was on there, and they asked him a lot of tough questions. He didn't skirt anything. He basically said, you know, we kind of like, it's my fault for it's management's fault for not putting enough of our assets into a game soon enough. By the time we acquired it and we helped them develop it, it was already in the process, so we can only do so much. But it's our fault for letting it get out the door in its own state. We're disappointed. We know the team can, you know, rectify this, and we hate that we disappointed a lot of people, and we're going to fix it, and we own it. Also said, thankfully, for Starfield, we had all of our assets and our teams piling into it early on. So what you see in the fall, you won't see happen with we get a lot of reassurances that Starfield will not have the same kind of launch results.
Yeah.
Because of the time.
And what the heck is going on, everybody? Yeah, welcome back to another episode of the Kind of Funny X-Cast. Your home for all things Xbox here at Kind of Funny. Just, of course, I'm one of your hosts, Snowbike Mike, and today
this is something I'm joined
by both of my guests.
The video volume was loud.
Sorry.
Basically, what I was going to say is it's an interview worth watching because he owns up to everything and says a lot of things that give a reassuring things for Xbox users. In the current state and going forward, I was very impressed. They did not sugarcoat anything for him, and he like boom, boom, boom had an answer. And it wasn't you can tell he wasn't blowing smoke up anyone's butt. He was being legit. I'm like, okay, I have a lot more respect for Phil. I wish Redfall was a lot better, but I have more reassurance for what's coming down the line.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've been talking about this with Servant. Kind of feel like Xbox has really fallen off, man. And I'm a big Xbox guy. You guys know that.
I think they have not taken advantage of. I think they have a lot of potential with recent acquisitions, but the time they've had in between that just haven't delivered enough to really sink in or lock in the community. And some of the things they deliver is not been great. Some of the surprise things like Hi-Fi, that was a freaking hit across the board for most people.
Yeah.
But they need more games and they need more solid games. And I think I'm hoping that the end of this year and beginning of next year is a redemption for them. If not, dude, man.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Missy.
There's nothing that's really
Trax. It better blow it out.
Yeah, Trax said in chat that Starfield better blow it out of the water. But like, I mean, honestly, even Starfield for me, when I'm looking at it, like I feel like it just looks like a Fallout 76 in space. And I don't know. That's just from the trailers.
Kind of in a sense what it is.
Yeah, and I just don't know if that's going to be for me. I don't know if that's going to get me back in the Xbox. Like, because, I've been talking about this with Servant, but it feels like, and I think they said it in that interview, if I'm not mistaken, which is most of what they're focusing on is Game Pass and cloud gaming and not iterating like great consoles or games for the console and things like that, which to me, as just a consumer, that means like I have a PS4. I have an Xbox One X. I haven't even bought a new Xbox. I'm probably going to buy the PS5 first just because of the simple fact of like God of War, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man, like all these games that are coming out on that platform that are just going to be like amazing storytelling games.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I just don't feel like, as a huge Xbox fan, I don't feel like they've given me a reason to purchase an Xbox. So
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you don't have one now, there's not a whole lot of motivation. Like, you can get that. PS5 has some exclusive titles that, you know, looking forward to as well. Wolverine and Spider-Man for sure. And I already have a Series X, so I'm good there. My PS4 will need to be upgraded. Otherwise, it's probably going to be in airplane mode like the old ones are.
Yeah,
mine's never done that, but I'm guessing with these next-gen games, I was surprised God of War, the Ragnarok wasn't doing that. I'm like, okay, I'm waiting for it. Never happened.
Because I think it was designed originally for the PS4 and then upscaled to like a PS5. But like Nate has a good question here, because I am a PC gamer. The only reason why I would get a console, because I play on PC, is because those exclusives that come out on PlayStation, like that's the only reason why I would have a console. But also it's true that there's no reason for me to buy a new console of an Xbox, because I have a PC.
They don't come to PC for a while. And sometimes those PC ports are pretty bad. Like, I've heard that the Last of Us 2 port was horrible. Like, people are still reeling about that, how bad that port was. So
yeah,
I think the Horizon Forbidden West port was pretty good, though. I understand. So
yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the thing is, if most games are made for console, sometimes the ports aren't great. Like even Jedi Survivor, that's kind of what most people are saying right now, is the port's not great. But like, I mean, if their focus is on Game Pass, and most of their Game Pass games come to Game Pass PC and cloud gaming, and I have a great PC, I don't need a new Xbox. Yeah. Like, if I'm going to buy a console, I'm going to buy a PS5, you know?
Xbox owner, getting a new Xbox is not near as a priority. Because almost any game on the console is going to be on PC.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It just makes me sad, man, because I love Xbox, and I see Redfall and I'm like, and then, you know, for me, like, I know some of you guys are really hyped for Starfield, but I'm just like, I haven't seen anything that's really blown me out of the water yet, you know? Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, if you ever weren't into Fallout much, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It just feels like Fallout in space, and I like the idea of Fallout in space personally.
Yeah.
But with Avowed and Fable coming and Hellblade.
Fable, baby.
I am looking forward to those titles too.
Yeah. Give me some Fable.
Yes.
I mean, there's some good games coming. You got Fable, you got Dragon Age, you got a new Mass Effect. Like, there's some really good games coming, but it's like none of those to me say I have to get a new console.
Right.
Like,
right. I mean, honestly, if I had the money, I'd be getting a new rig quick, and play as much as I can on PC would be the way I go. But I just,
so you heard it there. Happening. We need a GoFundMe for Thaddeus to get him a PC.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I don't know if I could do it, but I still have some components for my old PC. So it wouldn't be top notch anymore, but
no, mine's an i5 with a 1070. So
yeah,
new games that come out, it's like medium settings. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nowadays you could barely get it to play. I mean, I think Jedi Survivor has some pretty high end graphics that are needed, you know, in order to play that on, on PC. I mean, I have a pretty boss PC. But
what up, Soul Jim?
Yeah. But even then, I noticed when I was streaming and playing is that I would get into like Kobo, and you know, my frames would really drop, and then like my stream would start to lag a little bit, because like I have a 3060, and the 3060 was fine the whole time I was streaming it. Like, the heat didn't get high, and I have a boss CPU, but like, I think the game is, like we were saying earlier in the podcast, it just hasn't been optimized well for PC. Like, it seems to run better on console. It still has issues. But like, again, I don't know if this is just a thing with EA, because the same thing happened when Anthem came out. Like, there were so many issues with optimization, and it took them like 6 months and they finally got it optimized, you know.
And by the time they get optimized, a lot of the player base is dropping off.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the player base dropped off, the studio wasn't getting the resources to keep going.
Yeah. That yeah. Sucked. So I don't know, man. It's just, I'm going to have to go listen to that full interview with Phil Spencer, but like,
it's very good.
It's, I heard that he took accountability for a lot of what's going on with Xbox, but like, it just makes me wonder, because, and it makes me wonder too, how much of this is due to just like COVID and things like that, and how now developers, I don't know, like, developers are trying to make games for the new consoles now, right? So like, how much of this is trial and error? Is that why Jedi Survivor was kind of glitchy in some places? Because like, when I played it, when I started on PC on Coruscant, which is the first planet you start on, it was pretty like pretty bad with the frame drops and like the glitchiness and things like mm-hmm. that. But like, as I got off the planet, things got a lot better. And then it was very here and there that I would get it.
When you think about Coruscant, there's so much happening in the background constantly.
Yeah.
That it's sucking a lot of the resources to make that happen as smoothly as possible. Whereas other planets, it's standard skybox for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, Nate, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, how long can we keep using that excuse, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think like any of us here are like super cynical or critical of developers, because it's a hard job.
No, I think we're all at the point now where we're like, hey, if it's not ready, don't launch it.
Let it simmer.
Launch it when it's ready.
Yeah.
Let One, it take the stress off your staff. Two, let's make it a product that everyone's going to like and rave about when it launches, versus incurring a lot of heat because it's just not ready. Because mm-hmm. you know social media is going to rip it apart. The negativity will flourish a lot faster than the positivity will. Mm-hmm. But if you have a lot of positivity in the beginning, that grounds it.
Yeah.
Because people are the way they are.
Yeah. What do you think about Trax's point here? Do you think that's pretty valid, that we're going to see the impact for a while? Because
I think as the further we get away from COVID and we don't incur any more pandemics for whatever reason that are caused, I think that we should see a more consistent launch of better products at better times. Because I think, you know, a lot of these games are developed for such a long time. You have 2 years where everything is like jacked up, from people being able to work to being able to acquire various materials and assets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a huge bump in the road for people to have long-term development phases.
I think what's going to change, be like a game changer as well, is the new engine that like Fortnite's using and things like that, with how yes. they can create assets. Like Unreal is literally
unreal.
Like it's freaking insane, dude. Like when you see some of that, like I'm just like,
when they showcased what they can do and how they do it and how they did it for Fortnite, I was like, wow, that is impressive.
Yeah.
And that makes things a lot easier for developers, I presume. And apparently a lot of developers agreed.
Yeah. It's just crazy how good some of these games look, man. Like I'm going to try to pull this up so you guys can just see some of this stuff. That's like the showcase that they had in 2022. So this isn't even 2023, but like, it's just unreal just how good some of this stuff is going to look in the coming future for games, man. It's just crazy. But
yeah.
So I got to know, chat, what's some of y'all's favorite things? Because I feel like we need to end the podcast with like something Star Wars. Something Star Wars. So maybe the question is, what do you think? I mean, okay, how about this? What Star Wars game would you like to see next? How about that? Do you think there'll be a continuation from like maybe Jedi Survivor? Do you want to see like another MMO? Do you want to see like an RPG open world? I mean, we know there's an open world by Ubisoft being developed. So what do you want to see next?
I can tell you what I want to see. I want to see an open world or open world-esque.
These nuts.
Mando game where you're a Mandalorian,
yeah,
rising up through the ranks of your clan or whatever. I mean, just think all the various things you can do, from traversing multiple worlds to upgrading gear, new armor, and all the encounters that Mandalorians had, from clans to mercenaries and inner and outer rim. I mean, there is so much that can be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if, you know, they can piggyback off kind of how they did Jedi Survivor with the multiple open worlds and multiple planets, that can be done very well.
Yeah. I think something like that for sure. Like it's almost like Destiny-ish, you know, like you have strikes, you have raids, you have open worlds, you have storyline. Like something kind of live service-y like that, I think would be really cool to have in the next Star Wars game. And maybe that's what Ubisoft is developing with their open world. And co-op, man. Like I want a freaking Star Wars co-op where I'm dropping in and doing a freaking strike or something. And like Prime, you get on it like, bro, I'm here. I'm your Jedi Guardian. And I'm like a Mandalorian bounty hunter. And we go in and just jack them up, you know. That would be super fun.
Well, with recent things we've seen with certain characters wielding lightsabers, it's not a spoiler because it's in the trailer.
Yeah.
Star Wars mercenaries, where you can be a mercenary, custom make your own mercenary.
Yeah.
And you get a complete arsenal of weapons, backgrounds, races to choose from.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
That would be pretty legit. Yeah.
I like the way I think.
Yeah. Man, I'm just so over the moon with Jedi Survivor. And for all you guys that are listening, if you're on the edge and you're thinking about purchasing it and you haven't purchased it, get it.
So good.
Or get Game Pass, you know, or what is it? EA Play or whatever it's EA called Play. Now. Yeah. Yeah. So you can, I mean, cause it's on that and
knock it out in 30 days. Or maybe 2 months. Yes.
And 2 months and gold, cancel buddy. And then you're good. Yeah. It's just, God, so stinking good, dude. It's so, I can't wait to hear you guys in Discord when you're talking about it. When y'all finish it, man. Cause like, I was like, oh, that was good. That was spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, any other closing thoughts for you, Prime?
Closing thoughts. I'm looking forward to beating this, but I'm also looking forward. It's coming very, very soon. Diablo.
Oh, yes.
So
yeah, early birthday.
Mm-hmm. June 1st.
Yeah.
You know, you get pre-order early access. I found out that, it was originally June 2nd for those outside the U.S. It's always June 1st for us in the U.S. So I'm excited about that.
You're taking the day off.
I'm already low on PTO. So
you're sick,
man. I might have to. Maybe I can convince my mom to come down that week. And
work from home.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. But yeah. I think Jedi Fallen Order and then I'm probably going to mess a lot with Redfall just because it is fun.
Yeah.
And that's going to hold me over till Diablo hits.
Right on. Right on.
So now that you're done with Jedi, what are you going to play, bro?
I mean, I need to go back and 100% it. So I'm going to be doing that for a little while. There's a new update for Apex coming out with a new guy that's like an older legend. So it's like perfect. It's like right up my alley. So that's probably what some of the streams is going to be for a little while. It's more Jedi Fallen Order and some Apex. So thrown in there.
Well, I don't know. I'm so surprised and shocked, actually, that you're not playing Destiny. It's blowing my mind.
Oh my gosh. Do you have to bring that up? In a moment of weakness, the chat on our live stream convinced me to get the DLC because it was on sale. So Mule Filling the FOMO, of course I had to get it. And I only played it twice. Like, I maybe played 2 hours. And I'm just like, I don't remember why I'd stop playing the game. Like,
What did I do?
I should have used after Whataburger.
You would have felt better about it.
Yeah, I would have felt way better. Milkshake just is so much better. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. Don't forget to jump in the Discord if you want to kind of stay up to date when we're going to be releasing episodes, or follow us on Twitter. It's probably the best way you can stay up to date with us. But Prime, it's always fun with you, bro.
No, bro, it's fun with you.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for listening and watching, and we'll see you next time. And remember, guys, when in doubt,
blow it up.